This audio recording is a service of Incarnation Catholic Church, a Roman Catholic parish of the personal ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter. We thank you for listening, and we invite you to visit us in person in Orlando, Florida, or on the web at www.ordinariate.org. The following sermon was preached on Sunday, July 9th, 2023, the fifth Sunday after Trinity, by Father William Doc Holliday.
May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer, in the name of the Father, and the Son,
and of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
The last words of the gospel. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. We at times in this world think that we are tremendously burdened, that our Lord said the burden is light and we compare our burdens to his. It is true. Past couple weeks, I have not mentioned the incident, the fire, alluded to it maybe here and there in homilies. I'm not going to talk about the incident. Everybody knows what happened, so I'm not going to talk about the fire per se. But the consequences in which it places us, the consequences are to feel burdened, that we don't have what we used to have, that really nice things are gone, and now we have to deal with sort of second best kind of things. Yeah, it's true. From a human perspective, but you know, I cannot stand when this happens, when I say things and then I have to actually live them. If you've been here for more than 6 months, you've heard me say, I used to throw it out all the time, if this place burns down and we have to celebrate Mass on the hood of a car out front, and then I'm like, darn it, man. They were on the right. Yeah. It's just the way things are. Yeah, sometimes we do have to live things. But we should not let this in any way, shape, or form interfere in any way with what we do in here. Our Mass speaks to this. The Mass, the Eucharist, exactly. But even the words of the Mass put us in a position where we should pay attention and think about what we're saying and what it means. I always talk about the Mass, and there are parts of the Mass that are just always standard. They're the anchor. You know, that's why we've called it the canon of the Mass, the measure. This never varies. Actually, the canon of the Mass does vary a couple times throughout the year. It varies at Christmas time. It varies at Easter. It varies on Epiphany. Even the canon of the Mass itself varies occasionally. There's one part of the Mass that never varies, ever. Every single Mass that you come to, you hear this. It's the preface. It starts out the prayer. Lift up your hearts. This is a rhetorical question. What do I mean when I say that? You hear that spoken by a priest. What is that? Well, it's we should be happy about it. It has nothing to do, absolutely nothing to do with your visceral approach to something, your emotions. It has nothing to do with being happy. It's a direction. The priest is actually directing you to do something. Lift up your hearts. Now, I point out a lot that when we come into Mass, when you enter the church, you should be leaving the baggage of this world outside. It's kind of hard because you come in here praying for things that are burdening you and things like that. So, you know, you're sitting here preparing for Mass and things. So the things in the world are still fresh in your mind. You're making intercession for them, all that kind of stuff. When we hit this part in the Mass, and it's not there by accident, lift up your hearts. The celebrant is directing you to stop thinking about things in this world. Stop it. From this point right now, don't be thinking about these things. You think about the miracle that is going to happen And I mean that, the bishop was here last week and he pointed out that miracle, we use that word, and we do, we use that term fast and loose. A miracle is a very specific thing, but every time we come together for Mass, we see a miracle. We see a miracle, it's called the Eucharist. Bread and wine become the body, blood, soul, and divinity of our Lord Jesus Christ. We see a miracle, and we call that miracle the Eucharist, the thanksgiving. Why do we call it that? Because we're giving thanks to God for what His Son did. I mean, everybody usually thinks that, you know, in along the putting around here, we think in those terms. That's fine. But we talk about giving thanks to God. Lift up your hearts. Stop thinking about anything that you're praying about in this world and start thinking about the miracle that's going to be performed in front of you. Think about what you're offering to God, because this is what we're doing here. We are offering something to God. We are offering Him thanks for what He has done for us. And a lot of people don't sit back and say that after our Lord instituted the Blessed Sacrament of the altar, but not just at the institution, but after His death, resurrection, and ascension into heaven, when He puts all these things in place, we, for the first time in human history, after the fall of Adam and Eve, for the very first time, can offer God something that is worthy of Him. All the bulls and goats and sheep and turtle doves that God killed back in the day, they were not worthy of God. And some of them were called thank offerings. They were not worthy of God. God instituted those things in order to point forward to the shed blood of His Son. This is why God said, I don't desire sacrifice. Well, you told us to do it. I told you to do it because I want you to know what's going to happen. I don't need them. I don't drink the blood of bulls and goats. Every cow on every hill on the face of this planet is mine. And you kill one. That's not worthy of me. But they point forward to something that is, and that's the sacrifice of His Son. And we can represent that to Him. What we do here is not accepted because you're all that in a bag of chips. Hate to be a wet blanket. It's not because of you. It's who you present to God. In fact, His Son. This is worthy of Him because He provided it. He sent His Son to die for our sins. This is what we do. This is why when lift up your hearts, because it doesn't matter what's going on in this world, situation, place, it doesn't matter one bit. We're doing something that is worthy of God. And again, not because of us, because of what it is. This is what, lift up your hearts. Start paying attention to this. Hear the response. Habemus ad Dominum. We lift them up unto the Lord. We have our hearts raised to the Lord. I say what I say, directing you to do something. You say, I've done it. Do you mean it? And this is what I talk about. When I talk about learning the Mass, isn't when to sit, when to kneel, when to stand, what to say, how to say it. You know, if we go to the Latin, how to respond. That's not learning the Mass. Learning the Mass is why we say what we do. Why the actions. Lift up your hearts. Stop thinking about trash in this world. Start paying attention to God being present with us. Body, blood, soul, and divinity, miraculously, start paying attention. We lift them up to the Lord. I'm not thinking about this anymore. If you say, we lift them up to the Lord, and you're still pondering these things, you haven't done it. We don't say things because they sound churchy. We say them because we're supposed to mean them. This is what we do here. The prayer starts, lift up your hearts. We lift them up to the Lord. Then we talk about something that is our bounden duty. It is very meet, right, and our bounden duty that we should at all times and in all places give thanks unto Thee. And notice it does not say at all times and in all places just deal with stuff. A lot of people approach it, well, when bad things happen, I just have to deal with it. You're not supposed to just deal with it. It is our bounden duty at all times and in all places to give thanks. I will be the first to admit, I have been kind of hard pressed over the past couple weeks to get on my knees and go, thank you, Lord, for burning the church down. I'm not there. But I have come to the realization that, okay, it happened, and now it's time to not just deal with it, but just to move on. To move on because of who we serve. That's what we should all be doing here. And so, again, at all times and in all places, at all times, it doesn't matter what's going on in your life. And it's not, well, some dude sat in the back of the day in some office somewhere and penned these words because they sound real churchy and very positive. It doesn't have anything to do with that. It's Scripture. It's Scripture. At all times, we give thanks to the Lord. Ephesians chapter 5. Give thanks always for all things. Not give thanks for the blessings. Not give thanks for the things you like. Give thanks for all things. Everything. This is why St. Francis was big on saying, it's not better to be healthy than it is to be sick, or rich than it is to be poor. I've never been rich, so I can't do that comparison. But I have been sick, and I have been healthy, and I'm really thinking that being healthy is better. But St. Francis knew this better than I did. It's not better. It's wherever God puts you. Wherever He puts you, you deal with it, and not just deal with it, you give thanks for it, because you got to know that it's a providence, and He wants you to do something in that condition. So at all times, give thanks for all things. 1 Thessalonians 5, in all things give thanks. Why? For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. No matter what happens, it is the will of God concerning you. Not just dealing with it, appreciating it, using it for His glory at all times. It is our bounden duty. And in all places. In all places. Why in all places? Because God's everywhere. Is He in a special place where the sacrament is reserved and the tabernacle? Yes, He's objectively present there. He is more present there than He is out in a parking lot or in the grocery store, but He's still there also. He kind of runs the gamut with this whole thing as to where He is. Like in Psalm 138, 39, for those of you who use a newer version of the Bible. If I ascend into heaven, you are there, God. If I descend into hell, you are, that pretty well runs the gamut of where He may be. Heaven, hell, and everywhere in between. I'm there. I'm there. Our Lord Jesus Christ in the Gospel of Luke, the kingdom of God cometh not with observation. For lo, the kingdom of God is within you. The Holy Spirit dwells with you, and nowhere where you are, you gather two or three are gathered together in my name, I am there with them. Doesn't say where there two or three are gathered in a really nice, pretty little chapel that was once Incarnation Catholic Church. Okay, that, no, within you. It's not things that are observed. We can't help this whole observing thing stuff. We are in the world, but we're not of the world. We are creatures of senses. We touch. That's why the liturgy is what it is. We smell things. We taste things. We touch things. We hear things. All of these different elements engage us with heaven. But they're ancillary. They're secondary. They really are. I'll use myself as an example. Past couple weeks, I get all kinds of examples now over the past couple weeks. The traditional rubrics to the Mass for celebrating, for the priest to celebrate. I mean, in the back of the day, everything was dictated that you did as a celebrant, like where you look. When you're celebrating Mass, your eyes will be downcast or closed. Your head is upright, your eyes are down on the floor, or they're closed. I follow those rubrics. That's that whole custody of the eyes thing. I can't stand when I see clerics sitting around like gawking out at the people whenever they hear somebody cough or looking around. You never heard the rubrics. Eyes closed or downcast. That doesn't apply when I'm up here because this is not part of the action. So I'm up here talking. I'm speaking my own words. When the celebration is at, eyes closed or downcast. That's what I do. The first week, it was kind of funny. I would sit there, I'd have my eyes closed, and I'd be doing some prayers at the Mass. And it would come apart where I'd open my eyes, and for like a fraction of a second, I'm like, where the heck am I? Because I'm just, I'm praying. I'm like, when I open my eyes, I'm going to see the altar and all that kind of stuff. Like, I'm looking at a bed sheet. And I'm like, where am I? We get so ingrained on things like this. So, that was one thing. One of our parishioners, Luis Roman by name, because he's awesome. And he did a video, and we did the interview, and then I want to watch a video because I know he does this magic with all these videos and stuff that he puts in and stuff. And he had some angles of the fire that I hadn't seen. And I was sitting there looking, I was like, I'd always see just from the front, which really, it's the front of the church, you can see the flames in the back. It was like, wow, that baby's going up. And then he had one from the back, and I was like, whoa, it's cooking bad. Man, it's just the flames are flying. That really didn't bother me at all. I was just like, okay, yeah, it burned down. Yeah, it really did burn down, didn't it? I'm glad I wasn't there to see it. But then he put a video in there that was a little snippet of me celebrating Mass in there. And then when that plopped up, I was like, darn. And there were two things that were going on in my head at the same time. Sadness, and then there was this weird kind of gladness. It was sadness because I was like, oh man, that was a pretty place. That really was. That was a pretty place. And now it's gone. But the gladness part, it came when I was like, that seems like 100 years ago. I wasn't like, you don't have that anymore. This is what made me glad. Was like, I've never been a really material guy anyway. It's just my personality. I was like, it's just move on time. It's move on time. There ain't no reason to sit around wringing your hands over the stuff that's gone. Well, it's not going to help one thing. God's provision for us. I mean, we're sitting here today, right? One of the reporters asked me, when that day had happened, what are you going to do? Well, I'm going to walk 100 yards down the street and celebrate Mass like I always do. Why? Because God provided this place. If He hadn't provided this place, we would all be at St. Phil in the Blanks close to our home. And then I'd be getting emails complaining about what they saw. That would be what was going on. God provided this place so we could continue to do the same thing that we're doing. It'd be basically the same environment, holy, not the same aesthetically, but in a holy environment. This is what God wants from us. This is what we're dealing with right now, because it's His will concerning us in Christ Jesus. Say, you are incarnation people. Yeah, you look really pious and holy and everything, and you're nice. Let's see if you continue to be pious and holy when that goes away. And now that's our job. People used to visit this place and they say, it's so beautiful. Yeah, it was. It really was. But they should still come in here and think and observe that this is very different than other places. This is, I always say, when I opine, when it's my opinion or if it's subjective, which this is, I've said a couple times about, I'd rather be in here than really any other place that I can think of in the general area. Again, that's just me. Why? Because of the reverence and the veneration that we have for God and trying to do the best with what we have to honor Him. I mean, these little tweaky things. I mean, you came in here last week and I'm celebrating Mass on a folding table. This week, I'm so happy. Yeah. Now I got this. Okay. And little things will improve as things go on. This is what our Lord wants. He wants to overcome these things. Because there is a why to this whole thing, not just deal with it or, not even just appreciate it theologically or spiritually. Why? It makes us better. It makes us better. God knows it. And He usually does this with His favorites. Like Job, He looks and say, "Oh, my servant Job, he's awesome." That's my words. Doc's paraphrase version. He's awesome. And they, because he's got all this stuff. Do whatever you want to, but don't kill him. He loses everything. He loses health. Because why? Because he's one of God's favorites. A couple weeks ago, I quoted St. Teresa of Avila, my favorite quote from her. If you treat your friends this way, that's why you don't have many of them. That's God. Ask the apostles. They had it all going on. They were fishermen. They were lucrative businessmen, tax collectors, and things like that. Jesus calls them. They get up and follow him, and they all wind up getting killed in the most horrible ways. That's just how God works. If he really likes you, he puts stuff like this on you to make your witness just that much greater. 1 Peter, greatly rejoice, not just deal with, greatly rejoice if now you must for a little time be made sorrowful, that the trial of your faith, much more precious than gold, which is tried by fire, may be found unto praise and glory and honor of the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. Holy Spirit, through St. Paul, we glory in tribulation, that it worketh patience, and patience trial, and trial hope. Prove that you don't hope in things in this world. Prove that you don't go to a particular parish because of the way it looks. This is what we do. That's faith. We get a different definition of faith from the Holy Spirit in Hebrews chapter 11. Faith is a substance of things hoped for, like a new church, the evidence of things that appear not. Appearances don't, that's not faith. There are a lot of people who can really dig on something that's nice, that doesn't have anything. You know, I went to a papal mass in St. Peter's one time, and you think, that's got to be the pinnacle of your priesthood, going into a papal mass at St. Peter's. I have never felt like I had not been to church in my entire life than when I left. Because why? It's beautiful, its appearances are great, but there are tourists standing on pews with their cell phones and their tablets taking pictures and stuff like that. It is the most irreverent place on the face of this planet. Walk into the Sistine Chapel, there's cops in there. Silencio! Silence! Dude, the mumbling of the people is it near as bad as you're yelling. The place is. It's an attraction. And I'm not denigrating it, I'm just saying. There can be appearance that's very nice, and there's really no piety there. And there can be places where there is piety, and the appearance maybe isn't what everybody would like it to be. This is what we live. This is, you know, the question. Do you really have faith? Do you really have faith? He doesn't want us to talk about our faith. He wants us to show people our faith. Show them that you still are reverent and everything when you're sitting in the parish hall. That's why. This is why Jesus said to God, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will refresh you. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. There's no burden to be in here. If it's burdensome to you being here, then there's a problem with your spirituality. Sorry. Come to the office. We'll talk. Okay? That's a case of point. Because if we do what we're supposed to do, burdens in this life are easy. What do you mean? What are we supposed to do? What's required of us? We hear it at almost every Mass. The summary of the law, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, your mind, and to love your neighbor as yourself. Not just talk about it, but to do these things. At all times and at all places. I'll leave you with the words of St. John Chrysostom when we talk about the requirements, those two requirements, to love God and love our neighbor as ourselves. St. John Chrysostom says this, worry is for the slothful. Perform with cheerful readiness what is required, and then will all things be easy. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost.